Shukrach, my mother. Shalom to everybody. As my mother said, a lot of people came over to me and said, they know me from here, they know me from there, I'm related. It's a very harsh trial that's here now, and we have a little under an hour. We're going to stop on time. I learned that from our shulman, Shukrach Lavacha, your uncle passed. And the bell rings your right side for recess, and you're in the middle of a shmaitza. Hold yourself back and don't say it. The kids want to go outside. Don't keep going. I know you want to say it, but no one's listening. And the same thing here. So, before we start, just I was asked to remind everybody to fill out their evaluation forms and put away where it's supposed to go. And I want to ask you, what is your definition of chinuch? What does chinuch mean to you? Anybody want to answer? What does chinuch mean to you? Talk about chinuch, chinuch, chinuch all day. What does that mean? What does chinuch mean? It means train, not a wise watch. It means train, right? But what's our goal of a chinuch? What do we want to do? Bring out potential. Okay. Train to bring out their potential. Okay, anything else? Yeah?
Okay, it's Rashi that's been up there. It's a marvel of the dollar that you should be able to sky and play.
Right, the Rashi in Nachlai, right? Also, there's Rashi in Mir Isha, Shabon Rabbi's Chash, Olecha, Rachai. Rashi says, Kol Chinuch Osh Ha'Scholom. Ha'Scholom. So there's a book that I recommend reading. It's called Spirit of Child. Raise your hand if you've seen the book. Very, very good to read. It's a difficult book to read, but it's gewaltig. There's also another book I recommend called Raising a Loving Family by Shimon Russell. That's much easier reading. And also a great book. So, Raising a Loving Family. Very good to read the book. I actually gave us some of the book. I love the book. So, in Spare the Child, he says, Rabbi Jakobson says, so Shisharim brings down in Adam, he says, Ha'adam le'nivra ela l'sana galashem. Our job as parents of Chanchem is to get the children, to teach them how to achieve that tana galashem, to get them to want to do it, not want to be myself, nefach mishali, to do it in a way where they're going to want to do it even when we're not looking. Let's think back, we were Bachrim, we were in high school, and some of us were in the dormitory and we came late to Shacharis. What was the standard Einish when you came late to Shacharis? Anybody remember? What happened when you were Bachrim and Yeshiva and you kept coming late to Shacharis? Someone was going like this, you had to pay money. Let me ask a question, whose money was it? Was it your money or your parents' money? Your father paid for it. You can tell me, oh, I don't want to tell my father about it. But is that act of charging you a kass, is that going to bring the child to Sadaq al-Hashem? I don't think so. So we have to keep this in mind. We have a class, and we have 20-25 boys in the class, and it's not easy. And it's, you know, we want to control the class. We want to have an easy-going class so that we can learn as much as possible. But really, what's our goal? In chinuch, quality trumps quantity every single time. So your menahal comes to you and says, you have to finish Perek HaMavki, Gemara Rashi this year. You have to. That's our curriculum. Now you know that if you finish HaMavki, which is 10 blocks, you do it kacha kacha. They'll know it, some will know it, some won't know it. If you do 6 plots, everyone's going to know it. Now, I understand, you can't fight City Hall. The Mal said, do, but it's the same thing here. I'm going to go through a few slides. I have about 40 slides. I could run through the whole thing now, and you'll hear what you'll hear, but I'd rather spend the time and get a few slides clear than just run through it. So, I need to have a discipline system that's going to work for me. We all know that the shayush of the word discipline is disciple. When we discipline a child, we can't lose it. We can't have the kid mad and resentful because we gave him an inch. The finish has got to be so that it'll improve. When I was a kid in the 70s, do you know why we got a finish? Anybody know why we got a finish in the 70s? I don't know if anybody's old enough here to remember. Why we got a finish in the 70s? Because we misbehaved. You did something wrong, you got a finish. Nobody sat you down and said, Hetzachan, you got this finish because and I want you to improve. You got the finish. You came home from school. My father saw my cheek was red. What happened? The Rebbe Fassman goes back. What can I tell you what happened? That's how it was. In the 90s, when some of you grew up, we got a little better, and we gave Einshim to serve as a deterrent, so you shouldn't do it again. I don't know if you've been to Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn lately. Anybody been there recently? Drive on Ocean Parkway. Like New York drivers are known, Brooklyn drivers are known for their notorious driving, okay? I'm driving along Ocean Parkway, and everybody's going like levelless. Everybody's going 24 miles an hour. You know why? Because they install speed cameras every other block. Now, if I'm holding back from doing the action because I don't want to get in trouble, the second the back is turned, I'm going to go back to it. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, if I know for sure the cameras are malfunctioning, or I'm on a highway where there's no cameras and there's no cops, I'm going to speed. I'm going to go through a red light because I just did it mi'ira, I didn't do mi'ala. So we have to understand it serves as a deterrent, but that's not really the best thing. Nowadays we know when you give it a inish, you give it because you want the kid to be nisar, you want the kid to do tshuva. If we agree to that, maybe you don't agree to that, but if we do agree to that, then if we give the inish in a resentful way, screaming at the kid, and the kid's going to walk away from the exchange angry and upset, that's not going to bring the kid the son of Hashem wanted to chew. So this Rebbe was asked, what kind of discipline system works for you? And the Rebbe says, it's very simple. When the first kid misbehaves, I embarrass him, and so I run into a problem the rest of the year. But I know I just spoke to him. He's a mashgiach and she was tired of Yerushalayim. A few years ago, he was asked to observe a school in Yerushalayim. He came to our school in Toronto and he told a story. He tells a story, he says, Rinald said to him, I, Bedavka, want you to see the pre-1A Rebbe. He's fantastic. Please, I want you to watch him and tell me what you think. Rabbi Olowek watched him, and Taka, the kids are sitting like little soldaten, they're not moving. They're saying the psukim with the slavas and the shmak. So at recess time, the Rebbe let them go outside. And Rollins says, Rebbe, wow, incredible. What do you do? The Rebbe told them what he does. And Rollins heard him out, went to the Manal and said, fire that Rebbe. So we all asked him, so what happened? What did he say? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. It's too painful to talk about. I can't tell you. So all the Rebbe went back to class. I said, Rebbe, come on, Rebbe. You can tell me. Come on. He said, okay, I'll tell you. And mitzvah of farsa. That's what I'm telling you now. He said, the Rebbe took him outside. And he said to him, you see this little machzan over here? About 100 yards away. The first day of school, he said, we're all like, I'm teaching for 25 years. I can't stand kids. I hate them. But what should I do? I need a parnassah, so I can be on top of them. But I don't want to be bothered with nonsense. So what do? I take them the first day of school. I show them what's on Yiladim. I tell them what Machsan. Ken Rebbe. Yesh mefletzet b'machsan. You know what mefletzet is? There's a monster in the shed. Anybody who misbehaves goes to the shed and has to deal with the monster. In 25 years, I've had one kid that got within 10 feet of the shed and he ran screaming back to class. Now you know why all of a sudden kid hates, the Rebbe hates kids. I had a teacher who was a sixth grade teacher. And this guy had the best control I've ever seen of a Buddhist school teacher in my life. He was a guy from Brooklyn. He had that Brooklyn accent, that Brooklyn swagger. And basically, he did what this guy does here. The kid misbehaved, he embarrassed him. So, my wife and I have a feeling. Our feeling is used for quadruplets. We have quadruplets, three boys and a girl. So I was in Toronto, we had one class per. So my three boys go into the class, going into, let's call Mr. Smith. Going into Mr. Smith's class, two boys say to me, I heard about this guy, Mr. Smith. He's such a hard teacher. What are we going to do? I said, just behave, you'll be fine. The third kid says to me, you're an owl. I'll fight for him. What's going to happen? I said, Yitzi, I wouldn't do it if I were you. I wouldn't mess with Mr. Smith. He comes home the first day, says to me, you know, my desk was over here. There's a whole bank of lockers here. So I took my chair and I was leaning back my chair against the lockers. So Mr. Smith said, Engel, you know, these guys don't call the kids by the first name. I want to establish their authority, right? Engel, in this class, we don't sit like that. And my son was getting married on Sunday said, too bad. Something like that, I told the teacher. Brokhar Davul. So he says, in this class, we don't lean against anything. You're going to need to stand up the rest of the period. And he made me stand up for 2 hours. Never again did he have a problem with this kid. Sounds like a good system. It works. But it's not going to bring the kid to Sadhana Hashem. But if you're by nature a strong person, and it comes easy to you to control kids with your power that you have, maybe Taka should be like this. Be tough. There's an old teaching adage, don't smile to Chanukah. Be like that, and you'll control the class. I'm here to tell you, besides the fact that it's not going to be the kids of Sadhana Hashem, you're not going to be Matzliach as a Rebbe. I think we all agree that a Rebbe's job, Rebbe's tafkid is to be a Rebbe 24/7, 365, rest of your life. Rabbeim that act like this with kids, the kids have them for that year, and then they don't want to look at them after that. If you think about what I'm saying, think about it. I'm sure you've encountered Rabbeim yourself, and ask yourself, these tough Rabbeim that were Revayish people, I can tell you horror story after horror story of people that had bad experiences in the classroom. Could you raise your hand and tell me if you had a pleasant experience all your years in elementary? Think for a second, tell me, did you have a pleasant experience in elementary? Okay, there's 70 guys here and 5 raised their hands. Maybe some people don't want to answer.
Overall?
You take it back. Okay? Did anybody have a Rebbe that they have a sinner for? How do you understand? Wait a second, be honest, I'm not telling anybody. Okay, so more hands went up now, okay? I suspect there's more. Okay? I asked someone to bring a Gemara, I don't think it happened, but I was in Brooklyn last week. Is there? Oh. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Remember these shots in here? Remember the MP shots? Remember these? Get strong by holding it, weighs 20 pounds. So I was asking, so I saw this young man, looked like a nice man, so I asked him, what was your experience like in elementary school? He got red in the face, he said to me, you want to know about my experience in elementary school? My 7th grade Rebbe, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichra, he says. Don't ask me to tell you what happened. When someone says that, they want to tell you what happened. So I didn't say anything, and he kept going. He said, the rule was in class that you had to be looking inside the entire time. And if you chas v'shalom caught you looking outside, he made you take your regular Gemara and stand in the corner like this, up for up to 2 hours, like this. I tried doing this for 10 minutes. She said, when his back was turned, I went like this. I got a little breather. And somehow the guy had eyes in the back of his head, and he caught me. He said, go to the base medrash and get a Gemara, Arabic I'm learning now, get another one, you're going to hold two like this. So you're going to laugh when I tell you this. He said there was one day I had to hold 5 Gemaras for 1.5 hours. He said, you know, after that year, I hated Gemara. It took me till 12th grade to get learning back, to like learning again. So he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, the Rebbe, but they were scared stiff of him. When a child starts to argue with you, don't let him wear you down. Clamp your teeth together. Don't smile to mock him. Smile, I know, yeah. Come on, I know it's so hard. Why say don't give up? We call this no wiggle room. You take your son, your 5-year-old son, to Jewel Osco. And you go shopping. You get into the aisle where you're paying. They have a nice display of chocolate bars. And the kid says, Ta, can I have this Lowney's chocolate bar? Or O. Henry, whatever it is. Now, O. Henry has an OU, but it has a D. And he says, sorry, Sheikh, for the Mamakal Chavisho. It's not kosher enough for us. Kosher enough for us. Will the kid ever ask you again, can I have that chocolate bar? It's off limits. It's a trade, I can't have it. But achim vei on you, if you're in line in the kosher store, whatever it is, and he sees a Pashkin's chocolate bar that is called Israel, and he knows if he keeps on pushing, okay, fine, take it. Don't do that. Don't give in. Don't let the kid weigh you down. Pretty soon the kid will get the message, it's not working. When a child says, I hate you, don't take it personally, he doesn't hate you. He hates the fact that he can't control you. Agav, does anybody know who this guy is here? If you know who it is, you're a well-rounded individual. I knew there was Calvin and Hobbes. I wasn't sure it was Calvin. Someone told me it was Calvin. Okay, this is the same thing as before, right? Yeah. Say it again? Right. Yeah, he has anxiety. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the hate they can't control it, but he doesn't hate you. Don't take it personally, he doesn't hate you. It can be, you're right, it can be different series, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
It can mean I hate myself also.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, everyone, Swanson. It takes a professional to get us on the right track. Yeah. I mean, he hates himself. Very true. Okay. The quality of any relationship with a child is worth more, far more than the subtotal of discipline. We're disciplining because we want to keep the kid out there, Chayosha. But again, if we're doing it in a Zahayfah where the kid's going to resent it. You know, one of the things I do that I write in the Yetedim, there's something called the Chinuch Roundtable. So we got a question a few years ago. The school had a rule that you went to a bar mitzvah at night, but there was a curfew, and you weren't allowed to break the curfew. Let's say you had to be home by 10:30. If you came home later than 10:30, you forfeited the next 5 bar mitzvahs. And that way they hoped that they would come on time, and there would be the Shabbos next day. By Yayoi, it's Erev Shabbos, kid in the class would come to bar mitzvah, his father gets a call, 12 o'clock from the Manal school, Mazel Tov at the Bar Mitzvah. Hetzachayim, these 5 boys are not going to be able to join you at the Bar Mitzvah because they broke the curfew. So the father said, but these are my son's best friends. why are you punishing my son? And Mal said, that's a rule in our school. Good Shabbos, Mal Kol, and he hung up. The question was, what do we think about this? So a lot of everybody said, you know, why are you punishing the kid? It's not fair. But there's always a question within a question. What's happening over here? These kids are either in 7th or 8th grade. Let's say they're in 8th grade. All their life they've been waiting to get, remember the first time you got invited to a bar mitzvah, going to suit, going to bar mitzvah, you're a big boy. They're waiting the whole time to be able to do this. Are you taking away 5 bar mitzvahs? What do you think is going to happen? After the 5 bar mitzvahs is over, we're now sitting in his office, knock on the door, there's one of the 5 nidachim. He says, Shalom Aleichem, now I'm back from my ban of 5 bar mitzvahs. I want you to know that during this whole time that I wasn't there, I had a chance to do some real cheshir and nefesh. I realized how bad I was for being coming late. Chatosi avisi poshati yashikoyach abig ve'sarkastic yirav mitzvah. He's walking away saying, I hate you, and he means it. And he means it. He means it. Stupid school, stupid banal. You know, these boys are graduating. We want them to come back. You know, every year after boys graduate from our school, we made an alumni breakfast. You get 100 boys to come back. What a beautiful thing. Why should I be merach of them? Because that's the policy of our school. If you give an einish, and you don't do it in an eifel where the boys are going to want to be in the start of teshuva, that's not what Hashem had in mind. Now look at the one on the right. You're teaching a class, and a boy walks in, 8th grader, and he's wearing sunglasses. So the first rabbi sees him, comes in, he says, what are you doing? You can't wear sunglasses here. And the kid says to the rabbi, Rabbi, read my lips. I don't care what you say, I'm wearing sunglasses. What do you do? So the first rabbi said, Arei Sunda, go to Menah. Same thing happened with the second rabbi. So at lunch, Rabbeim in the rabbi's room, the two Rabbeim are talking. You know, the Mishnah and Saita, the big student of Mashiach, Chutzpah Yazki, wow, look at this. Imagine the Chutzpah, this kid came in with sunglasses. So there was a rabbi there that was teaching the kid the third period, he was a substitute. He said to himself, you know, it didn't go well with these two guys. So the kid walks into his class with the sunglasses. The kid, hey, cool shades. Are they custom made? And a whole speech about sunglasses, infrared, violet rays, and where you get them, and the whole thing. And the kid's still wearing the sunglasses. So Rebbe's about to start the class. He walks over to the kid, you mind? And he says, do me a favor. Would you mind taking off the sunglasses just for this period? And he turned around and he walked back to his place and he resisted the urge to turn around for about 2 minutes. And when he finally turned around, the sunglasses were off. If you go to the kid and say, open your gemara.
And you stand here, you box the kid in.
You want the kid to do what he's supposed to do, give him space, and don't box him in. So last year I was in Florida with Rabbi Glass, and we met with Shimon Russell, the one who wrote this book. And he was telling us about co-regulation. What does that mean? If a child is dysregulated, Sean wrote a book. If a child is dysregulated, instead of doing what we do, let's try to help him. Let's do something called co-regulation. Westwater, you hear this co-regulation, right? So the Rebbe, I told this to Rebbe in 6th grade, and he heard me. I said, you know, you never know when this will help you. Keep in the back of your mind that one day this might help you. 3 days later, the Rebbe suddenly walks into my office after school and says, I gotta tell you what happened. I'm teaching this kid. He's a good kid, but he's prone to getting upset for no apparent reason. I didn't do anything, I'm telling you. And the kid was mad at me. So first I'm teaching, and the kid's getting madder and madder. So he walks, and he sees the kids all listening to me, so he walks up and he goes, "Aah! Don't listen to the Rebbe!" What do you do if you're the Rebbe in that class? Hold the thought. He sees that nobody realizes something wrong with him. So he walks up to the board, let's say on the Rebbe, he writes. Can't see it, I'm sorry. Second. He writes on the. Okay. Does it happen to you in class? He writes on the board, Engel is an idiot, exclamation point. Now let's see what happens. So now you're teaching the class. Please answer the question, raise your hand and tell me, what would you do if you're teaching the class? The kid first tried to stop your lesson, and then he wrote, Engel's an idiot, exclamation point. I gave this class in Lakewood last week. One of the men raised his hand and said, at least you should write Rabbi Engel's an idiot. Okay. I appreciate the humor. Now, what do you do? So in the morning, I gave this to the Moros. So one Moros says to me, well, you know, you gotta realize that the kid is really hurting from inside, and you gotta understand that. I said, lady, listen. When you're teaching a class and you wanna teach, and the kid tries to disrupt your lesson, your blood pressure goes up 100 points. When the kid writes Engel's an idiot on the board, your blood pressure goes to the max. You're not being introspective at that moment and think how you can help clients. You're not. You're upset. So what do you do? So I got to tell you, Moshe Rabbeinu figuratively would take the little scoundrel to the Manal and say, Manal, this boy cannot be in my class. Chutz of what he is. I can't have this boy in my class until something happens. So this happened to me many times. I love when Rebbe said to me, by the way, this boy can't be in my class. I was Rebbe for 13 years. That's not what we want to do, Rebbe said. No matter what happens, we don't say that. We want the boy in our class. So, I tried to speak to the boy, but he ran away because he was very upset. So he finally came back, I gave him some books to read, kept him in my office. That's one way. Now, if you want to show the Rebbe that you're on his side and you want to help him, you're not going to tolerate this chutzpah. You'll call the mother and you'll say, you got to pick up your kid. He was chutzpah to the Rebbe. He can't be at school. Now, you know today's mothers, they're not picking daisies in Walmart. They're busy. They work. They're busy. They're family. The mother's going to come to the school and she's going to pick up her son. She's not happy about coming. The kid is not happy about leaving. What happens? They get home, and the mother says, okay, listen, it's 11:05. You're in school until 4:30 every day. For the next 5.5 hours, I want you to stay in your room and don't leave. Pass by mouth, teichal, leave it at your door. I want you to think about what you did wrong. Does this happen? No, it doesn't happen. Instead, the kid goes home, he plays Xbox, or his mother says, okay, let's go shopping. And they go shopping, and in the middle of the shop, when the kids are occupied, the mother texts the father and says, no, I'm really enjoying my day with yesterday. I should do this more often, you know. It's really nice. And then the kid goes shopping with his mother all day, he forgets about the whole thing. Next morning, the mother says, oh, you know, the Nana said to me, you need to write an apology note. So, Yossi, could you write an apology note? The kid says, maybe I'm sorry for doing this, it won't happen again. He gives it to the Rebbe, the Rebbe gets a note, okay, the kid got suspended, justice was served, like I told you in the 70s, we got a punishment because we did something wrong. And that was it. The kid's back in the class. We didn't deal with the dysregulation. This is going to happen again. Instead, what did this Rebbe do? You know how when they train you to be a Rebbe, they told you, every Rebbe's got to have epistentash. Gonna have something in his pocket. When he sees that the learning is like a Rekiva, even he saw there were Mustafa name, Ma'am Rasa Esther, he's gonna have something that's fascinating that he can tell over to the kids to get them back into it. I hope everybody has like a story, a medrash, whatever it might be, Chazal, whatever it might be, to get them back. So the Rebbe stopped what he was teaching. He was teaching Hamafi. He stopped and he started telling him a fascinating medrash on Purim. And this kid, despite himself, feels himself being nimshach back into the lesson. And the kid was fine after that. At 2:15, the Rebbe left, called the mother. Now this mother was married to a chasher Talmud Chacham, and her father was a chasher Talmud Chacham. I've been trying to get her to take this kid for help for 6 years. And she brushed me off, saying, nah, the kid will grow out of it. You know how they say, right? The kid will get taller, and mother will just, his problem will leave him, right? The Rebbe called the mother and said, this is why I didn't call you, I didn't send him home, this is what I did. The mother said, you know, I think we need to get him help. And she got him help. Now this is an extreme story. It doesn't always, not always gonna happen like that. It doesn't always work out, but I'll tell you an unbelievable story. We had, in our school, we have a mini for Kita Vav to Kita Ches. So the 8th grader, we have a light safety tire, and we want the kids to do Harpa. We train them how to do Harpa, we teach them how to do it. So, I had one kid in the class, big strong, smarty kid. He gets up, and he's going to show how macho he is. So instead of opening 3 like we told him to do, he does about 7. So I called the kid and I said, you know, you're a strong guy, very impressive, you did 7. But if you want to continue doing Hanukkah, you gotta do 3. Okay? There's a rotation, his turn comes around a few weeks later, he gets up, and again, this time he does 8. He's working out into he slides, he did 8. He said, okay, you know what? We're gonna take a little break from doing Hanukkah. 2 times around his rotation, I didn't let him do it. Finally, he begged me, please, Rabbi, let me do Hanukkah, please. I'll do it only to 3. Fine. Go back. Like a toddler, he does 3. I went over to him afterwards. Wow, you're Kayush Yetzer, Shimshon, I gave him the whole thing. A few more times this happened. He did 3. He gave him the thumbs up. Wow, wonderful. By here, Yoyim, it's at the end of June. We have school in July. Like Rabbi Muller instituted for. Okay, I shouldn't say that. Okay. I have to love summer. I think it's the greatest thing ever. Really, I think it's great. But anyway, this kid was leaving. He was 8th grade. He's leaving school, and he going to work at a cab. He didn't ask for shifts. Just leaving. So today he's leaving. I don't know this, and it's his turn to do Hanukkah. And he gets up.
And he goes like this.
I think he did 9 this time. Unbelievable. So I'm wearing my tulin. Baruch Hashem, I don't talk to my tulin. So I didn't react. I waited a little bit. I called him in a couple hours later when I knew he wouldn't be mad. And I said, I want to speak to you after this. I found out that he went home to speak to his father, and his father told me he did the right thing. He would die from the Mishabrura, he could do it. Unbelievable. So I called up my Vaal Chinuch. I'm not going to tell you about my Vaal Chinuch because whatever. And they said, Arois, Vav the kid Arois, but chutz of what he is. But it didn't sit well with me. The kid's leaving school. I go, I'm going to form out, so I'll get the last word. Like, so I'm an owl from LA, his name is Rabbi Abadi. If you know him, he called me up and said to me, give me an answer what to do. I love the answer. Kid comes to my office. I said, you know, Elio, you're a good boy. You're a big, strong boy, you know. I know that you can do 9. I saw, wow, very impressive. But I'm afraid that boys who are not as strong as you might have some time to save terror. That's why we have this rule. But I see you work out. You work out? Yeah, yeah. I said, so I pull out $40 US, which, you know, I live in Canada, so that's like $100 Canadian, right? And I say, I want you to buy weights. And I want you to remember the kid. The kid broke out into such a smile. He thought he was going to get murdered by me. Wow, thank you, Rebbe. And from then on, whenever I saw him, he came in as manum. It changed our relationship. So I mentioned before, we had this alumni breakfast. It happened to be, it was Monday. It was Monday. I said, oh. What better thing to do when we get this kid? And then we're going to go full circle of he's going to do Hanukkah. The kid gets up, he gets Hanukkah,
and he goes like this.
I think he did 10. The point of the story is always that it doesn't always work out. You try your best, it doesn't always work out.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Did you have been to some rabbi before? One Rebbe told me he has 25, one Rebbe told me he has 28. If you have 28 Talmidim in your class, chances are you're going to have between 3 and 5 kids who are difficult. But between me and you, I won't tell anybody, when the kid's not there, you double pump your fist. Right? Because it's a different day. Wow, this kid, it's amazing why I can get done today. Right? What do you do with these kids? What do you do with kids like this? You know, I live in Lakewood now, and Rabbi called me up all the time. They have 31 kids in their class. How do you manage? So they told me, well, the first 2 periods we just get by. And then there's CBS. CBS, what does that say? Like Tabika and Omar from Toronto. No, CBS, the drugstore. You know, they sell candy. We give candy in 3rd grade. That's how we manage. So, what do you do with these kids that are very, very difficult? What do you do with them? So, I want to give you a couple of answers. First of all, call up this kid for 3 consecutive nights. I don't know what the culture here is in Chicago. Would it be weird if you called a kid? Would it? Or a mother, would it be weird if you called a kid? No, it's okay.
4 p.m.
Okay, yeah. So, you call the kid up. And talk to the kid what he wants to talk about. So on one side, if he's a hockey fan, and you know anything about the Chicago Blackhawks, read up on it. And speak to the kid, speak to his language. Oh, let me out. Okay. If you do this for 3 consecutive nights, I guarantee you'll see a change for the better. And when you see him, give him two or three compliments. Real compliments. I noticed how you did that. Wow, I noticed how nice you were to that boy. I guarantee you'll see a change in the better. Okay. Put your children into thinking mode rather than defense mode. Larry Thompson, who speaks, he's like the Rick LaVoy of Bisman Hazeh. He says there's something called a child being in autonomy. What does that mean, autonomy? You're giving the class ice cream. He says, you see, I mean, this kid's misbehaving. I don't recommend you do this. But let's say you tell the kid, you know, you didn't behave, you're not getting ice cream. A kid is in autonomy. What does he say? I don't need your ice cream. I had this flavor 3 times during this week. When you're taking the class to the park, you know, you can't go laser because you won't behave. I went to that park 4 times already. But the kid's in autonomy. He's showing you, I don't need you. Instead of making statements and saying, you did this wrong, ask the kid what he was thinking. So I'm at a yom yin with the Rebbe. We did it every 5 weeks. We have a nice breakfast. Rebbe would come. And one of the topics that I wanted to speak about was Lishol She'eleis Al HaBechina B'Loshon Kodesh. Or if I want to be really correct, B'Loshon HaKodesh. Okay? So what do you think happened? Mixed reviews. The Rebbe who know B'Loshon HaKodesh, they love it. Rabbi who don't, one guy gets up and starts screaming at me, Barabbim, what's the matter with you, Engel? They barely understand the questions when it's in English. Now you want to make it in Lashon Kodesh. I didn't say anything. I called the guy into the office. I said, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know Lashon Kodesh? No. Do you know Diktuk? No. Rabbi, how about if we have a private class? And I teach you a little TikTok. I teach you a little Lashon Kodesh. The guy was so happy, ended up being 4 other Rebbeim joined the class. And we did the class for about 10 sessions. Again, I wish I could tell you that this Rebbe lived happily ever after and asked all his questions about Lashon Kodesh, but he didn't. It didn't work. But you have to try. We have to realize that when you confront a child, the child is going to fight back unless you, instead of accusing, you're thoughtful. You say, I wonder why you did this. Can you explain why you did this? So when the Rebbe challenged me, I said to the Rebbe at the meeting, I didn't answer, but I said, maybe you can explain to me your thought process behind the question. And he was stunned. Instead of accusing him, coming out against them, instead of putting him in autonomy, I put him in defense mode, I put him in the thinking. Okay, when you speak to a parent, this happens all the time, especially close to the Kehillah of Chicago, you go to a kiddush and you do PTA. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? I lived in Montreal for many years. You couldn't go to a simcha without doing PTA the whole time. So a lot of times a parent will be speaking to you, especially when you're talking about a difficult child. So how's my little Tzatzkala doing? This kid's making life miserable. You say, well, you know, make eye contact with the guy. Look at him. Look at him in the eye. And the second thing is, and I'm guilty of this all the time, a parent comes in and starts telling me this and that, we're doing this wrong, we're doing that wrong. And I have the answer at my fingertips. So I say, oh, and he says, do you mind if I finish? I said, oh, I blew it. Can you let the guy finish? Let the parent finish. I'm not so solemn and said it. That's all. He said, half the fool for parent is letting him talk and say, I'm going to look into it. And parents are usually mollified with that. This is straight from Spare the Child. The parents are doing the following minimum chinuch in the home, they're doing fine. You want to know, is it a house that has, that's normal? Well, first of all, the soil of the house is out. You know, there's four types of parents. There's a parent that we call the drill sergeant parents, my way or the highway. And these parents typically, like we spoke before, they still fear in their children. And like the Vildegard says on the Pasuk Chanechana Pidaka Dam Kiyaskim LaYasir Mena, if you try to break a child's teva, you'll succeed when he's younger and he has to listen to you. But as soon as he gets older, he'll break away and that'll be that. And you hear about these kids, they get older and they break off contact with their parents. It's because they went through a traumatic experience with the drill sergeant parent. The second parent is the lawnmower parent. You tell me who bothered you and I'm going to mow him down. Let the kid figure it out himself. What are you doing? Let the kid handle himself. The third parent, shamefully, you forgot your snack? Don't worry, now I'm at Midway Airport. I'm going to come running with a snack. Let the kid figure it out, eventually. And the last parent is the executive parent who says, you know, if you're done, I'm around. And if you need me, I can help you, but you can figure it out yourself. Watch what happens in shul when the guy thinks no one's looking. How does he deal with his kids? Does he hug them? You're supposed to kiss your children in shul, but when you see him at the kiddush, does he naturally display affection to the children, or is he tough with them? Leah Kisa, there's a reasonable sense of authority now. It's not just laissez-faire, do what you want. Go to sleep whenever you want. We've all seen parents like this. And the last thing is that parents regularly compliment their children on their successes verbally. Rabbi Yoel Kramer talks about the four H's. Anybody here ever hear the four H's of Chinuch? Oh, what are you? Well, well, well. I see you can give me one H. Four H's of Chinuch. The first one is, yeah. Here, but okay, that might be a fifth one. See, I got to answer Talmidim, I ask your question, no, you shaita, no. Okay. So the first age is home. What's the shtub like? What's the house like? Now, again, I don't know if it's the culture here in Chicago, but I always encourage Rabbein in the Cheder to call the parents before school and ask them for a meeting before school. And if, you know, the Chutzah finished school in high, but if you could do it, if the meeting could be in the parents' house. Because I'm telling you, when the father walked into PTA with you and you said, yes, Pashteir, the apple father's right from goal. I see the father, I see the kid. Why should you wait until PTA for that to happen? Meet the father before. See what kind of house it is. Are the dishes in the sink from last week? Is the laundry piled up all over the place? And if you're really unbelievable, you get into the kid's room. But can I show you my room? And you see five beds in a space of 5x7. Okay, again, we were able to do this. You don't say, can I go into the room, but if the kid invites you in, well, if the kid is sick, you go to visit him, you go to his room. And there's no place to do homework, and supper is at any given time, and the kid never has snack, and the kid wears the same clothing for four consecutive days. The kid's got big problems. You're his life away from home. You have to know that. So, how big is the house? What neighborhood is it in? Is the kid the oldest in the family? You remember when your first kid started going to school? And they went to nursery, and they came home, and they made a crude drawing of something. Wow, because you called your sugar and your parents, amazing. And then you asked the kid a question, the kid knew, wow, the kid's a genius. By the sixth kid, I don't know about you, but my answer is, my answer was, someone say to me, so how's your kid doing? I don't know, if it, I didn't hear anything, so I guess things are okay. So if you're teaching a first child, we call that the first child syndrome, have you do what that the father and mother are going to text you incessantly to know what's doing with their little tzatzka. By the way, I never allow a maid to text parents. The mother, because you don't text a lady, but even the father, think back when you were a kid. Think back, there were no cell phones. Wait till the evening. You email the father, email the Rebbe. You need instant gratification. So, you wait. But if it's a first child, the parents are going to be very into it. If it's the last kid in the family, the stomach, everything's okay. Another thing to ask is, when's the kid's birthday? If he's born between August and December, and he was pushed ahead, that kid is probably going to be less mature than the other kids in your class. So again, think back to your difficult kids. Look at your roster. Look when they're born. Usually that's the case. The kid's not immature, just in the wrong class. We always encourage parents to push their kids back rather than ahead. The second H is Hashkafa. What's far as Hashkafa? Does he have a Rav? Does he follow authority? Chayna. The third H is happenings. What's going on in the house? You know, maybe I told the story over, but I'll say it again. There was a Rebbe, there was a sixth grade Rebbe. You know the Maestro Bechina, I told you the story? The Rebbe was a very good Rebbe. He gave the Gemara Bechina every week, 20 questions. And he told the Talmidim, I'm going to mark the test, you're going to have it back the next day. It's going to take me hours, but I'm going to do it. Al Tzara, you need to sign the test. Your father's got to sign the test. Not your aunt, and not your mother, and your grandmother. Your father learns you got to sign the test. And every single week, this kid Yain in the class always had his mother, his aunt, his sister, never the father. Every week the Rebbe said, Yain, come on, what's the big deal? Just go your father, sign it. Never get it turned away and said, I'm sorry, Rebbe. But here Yain is PTA, and the Rebbe's way finally is going to meet Yain, his father. The mother comes to PTA, so the Rebbe, remember he went to a seminar one time and they said that sarcasm is terrible. He couldn't hold himself back and said, ah, I should have realized your husband's too busy to sign the test every week. Koshkin, he couldn't make an appearance at PTA. I would love to meet him. Mother says, Rebbe, Yain is a yes, my father, my husband was left to last year. Rebbe felt like he was kicked in the stomach. He somehow managed to complete the meeting. He apologized to the people waiting. And what do you think he did? He charged down the hall to the Manal's office. He burst and he said, what's the matter with you? How could you not have told me that Yain is a yes? You know how differently I would have treated him? I don't know him. And you know what I say, Rebbe, you're 100% right. The Manal is Peshev for not telling you. Well, Rebbe, how could you be this Yosef's Talmud for 3 months and not know that he's Yosef? Where have you been? Hallelujah. So, happenings, if you're moving, there's construction, there's a simcha, there's Rachel Tzan, Patira, there's illness. These are all things that a Rebbe has to know. I don't need you to go every single day and be a yentim, but you gotta do your homework. You gotta find out, you know. And the last age of the hayyim, the parents, where they're from, are they Ashkenazim, are they Sfarim, are they on Shuva, are they FFP, can father learn yeshiva, does he have a rav, does he accept authority? All these things are important to know. And if you know them, Asherim b'tayvach. Okay. There's also from the book, when the Talmud disobeys him, let's say you tell your Talmidim, okay, open after the Gemaras, open the Gemaras. And the kid refuses. Or in this case in the book, the rule was in these Israeli schools that you have to stand when the Rebbe walks in. And this kid absolutely refused to stand for his Rebbe. But instead of the Rebbe saying, I wish the door go to the Menorah, the Rebbe just stood there with a half smile on his face, not mocking, but just like, yeah, I don't care, I don't need your staff for me, but this is the rule of the school. I always say, put all your emotion into teaching and take all your emotion out of discipline. So when you want to discipline, no emotion. And your words will be becoming. Looking at our Talmidim through their lens, not ours. It's also in the book. A father offered it, I promised myself before I came here, I'm not going to discuss whether prizes are a good thing or not. I'm going to hold myself back. Maybe that's for a different time. But anyway, the father said to his son, I want you to learn Mishnah's Balpeh. Every Mishnah you learn Balpeh, I give you a dollar. The kid was like a good Zikar, and he was a good Talmud. Within 3 weeks, he had memorized most of Seder Moed. And then the kid stops coming. So the father said, what happened? Wait. So I'll tell you the truth. You're paying me a dollar, Mishnah. It takes me, let's say I can do Mishnah every 10 minutes. So I'm making $6 an hour. I got a store, I got a job in the food store down the street. They're paying me $10 an hour. I'm making more. So again, let's not go into, you know, but what's the father's mistake here? The father said to himself, I want to show my son Hashimah Satana. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pay him to learn Mishnah's Papeh. But he looked at it through his lens. He didn't chap that the kid is looking at it through his own lens. He didn't pay someone to learn. He got paid. So I got paid. Mali hach, mali hassel. Let me make some more money. And this is actually Kapitel Gimel, Tila, Mizmah, Adav, Baruch Hashem, Ne'ashon, Benayim. Without going through the whole thing, basically, David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom. Avshalom became the king. And Achitophel, who was mad at David because Achitophel was mad at him because he married Bathsheba, who was his granddaughter, and he had Uriah Hittite killed. And also, he didn't invite David, Daftari from Hashmi, he didn't invite David to, when he brought the arm back. So he was mad at David. So he told Avshalom, gave him Itza, I'm going to kill David, you'll become the king. He told Avshalom to do a terrible thing, so Avshalom would be chayav misa, and that way he'd get the melucha. His mistake was, Achitophel, he failed to look through Avshalom's eye. Avshalom did not want David to be killed. He wanted to be the king. He wouldn't mind if David would become the king of Eretz. And that was it. That was a mistake. Okay, what's happening? Anybody here from ATT? Okay, I don't know. I'll just finish up here in 5 more minutes. Oh. Thank you. I'll just do the slide. Oh, you did it? How you doing? Oh, you know what to look at that. Okay, I heard this from Robert Toronto. He said, Atem Salmayoyim, Nishna Vekstalen, Avstalen. Sometimes we need to stand still and make a cheshbon. Where are we going? What's going to be? What is our goals? Do we sit down before the year and make goals for ourselves and say, I want to bring the Talmidim to this place? I want to tell this and this and this. Do we do that? We're just going, okay, after the first Gemara is, Abu Halpin, okay, well, let's go, let's learn. Let's make a cheshbon nefesh where we want this class to be. And while I'm on the subject, Rabbi Simon, every Rebbe here teaches his class certain things. Let's say one Rebbe says, I want to teach a class on Lama Tesu Lachas. And the whole year the Rebbe is all over Yoga and he teaches the Lama Tesu Lachas. What happens by the middle of next year, the Rebbe after him, Bibi Chazarek, is completely wiped clean from the kid's memory. This is why you have kids who are in high school or kids who are in 8th grade and don't know basic diktuk. Because they learned it in 2nd grade, but it wasn't chazar. Wouldn't it be a nice thing if we could each make goals for what we're going to do this year, and these goals are going to be chazar over by the Rebbe the following year, by the Rebbe the following year. Rabbi Shlomo Zatzal used to say, we should have a meeting, we should all sit down together, and we should all ask ourselves, what's going to be our chelik in making this kid going to pre-1A a Muslim by the time he graduates 8th grade? and this Rebbe has this chelik, and this Rebbe has that chelik, and together we're all going to get together and we're going to make this kid a mushel. In order to do that though, we need to chazer over and review what the Rebbe before us did and make sure that the skills are there. So it just means like this: when you give a bechina, you give a chumash bechina, ask them what's a mava hipoch. Ask them. If you're teaching fifth grade or older, chances are they don't know. It's very sad. It doesn't take a long time. You have to put a tremendous amount of work. Let's not let it go, Lorik. Let's let it continue. The boys side, I want to thank you all for coming and listening. And we should all be zeichet to bring our Talmidim to the highest madriga of learning. Thank you. Thank you.